Blog Talk Radio.
Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, then I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us, oh. Oh, how he loves us.
Yeah.
How he loves us, oh.
By the grace in his eyes, if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
Of the Holy Ghost, and I loose right now in the name of Jesus the power of the kingdom to
come down and be with us during the course of this show. As your word begins to transform, as it begins to go forth, it begins to shake off every negative thing that's not like God. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to everyone on the line. Your word is declared, decreed according to Romans 7, that he who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. These things we ask not of ourselves, but the power of the Most High God. We decree it. We declare it. We call it been done right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We call it move, Father God. Father God, we just ask you, Father God, to put your loving arms around us as we go forth in this word tonight. Lord, we decree it. We declare it. We call it been done. We declare it and we decree it. We call it been done. Lord, give us the ability to call things that be not to if they were by your precious blood, by your precious Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we do pray, Lord. Amen. Well, thank you once again for joining me here at Harvest New Life Church, which is our radio broadcast, Power of the Harvest Radio Station. Every night we're here, Tuesday night, which we change from Monday to Tuesday, but we thank each and every one of you for broadcasting and coming on and being with us on the show as we move forward to do the word that God has called us to do. We thank you, Father God, right now for you putting your loving arms around us. We declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, we know, Father God, that no weapon can be formed against us. And we begin to understand and realize that through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Father God, even as we move forth in the show, even as I begin to take host and begin to take blessings to my young co-host, which is my beautiful wife, Pastor Patty Ellis, that's here, that's by my side, that's going to be ministering the word along with me each and every night as she continues to be the shield of protection around me as being the man of God over the house of this particular ministry. And we just want to let you know, for those of you going to be joining us by internet, we want you to go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. As you go to harvestnewlifechurch.com, we want you to go over to the top and schedules and services. As you move the schedules and services, go midway through the page. And as you move midway through the page, you're going to see a sign there, and it's going to give you the information saying Blog Talk Power of the Harvest Radio Station. If you click into that station or click on that icon, you will see the Word of God in its entirety. We do have a chat line. For those of you who want to be joining us live on the speaker form, we want you to go to the chat line and be with us on the chat line as the Word of God goes forth. We just ask each and every one of you to be mindful as the Word goes forth on today. Y'all know me as a pastor. Y'all know I don't play games. Y'all know I don't get at all that. I don't deal with foolishness. So if you're on the line and you're dealing with the study tonight, let's keep it in text. Anything outside the course, we will not deal with on tonight because of the presence of what God is doing in this house. And we thank each and everyone for being with us as the show begins to start. And for a few things, I want to do a few announcements a little bit more. You know, during the course of the show, we have been running into some technical difficulties. For whatever reason, we know that the enemy is trying to stop this word. But how many people know that the Bible declares and decrees that no weapon can be formed against anything that God's begin to plant the foundation to be shall prosper? And we just ask you, never wanted to put your loving arms around us. Continue to keep us prayed up as you do always on this show. And we're going to be over in the book of Psalms 91, and we're going to be dealing with the area, what presence it is to deal with in the kingdom of God. And the word has decreed and declared as a shelter. And even as we begin to understand the key power of Psalms 91 is understanding the importance of the name of God in its reference in entirety. It is a protective scripture. It is designed to loose, to shut down any form and any fashion of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, every Father, right now that you look over this word, because we're already running into technical difficulties right now. But I believe, according to the word of God, that no weapon formed against us has got the ability to prosper and nothing will be able to stand. And we thank you for joining us on this show as we continue to move forward. We want to let you know that we are in a position of having our actual studio all in position. It's all ready to go. We will be streaming live. You will see me and the First Lady here in this particular studio doing the Word of God. You get to see it firsthand as we begin to give out the actual location or the actual streamline number that you can tune in. You'll be able to see us live on the radio station or on this very audio and video station as we go forth bringing the Word of God to you as we do each and every Monday and Thursday, and at our which is between the hours of 11 and 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, depends on what time the service is about, and we're going to continue to keep moving. Now, most of you hear the sound is coming up. We, like I say, the system has went down, and we're going to continue to keep moving. But we know, according to the Word of God, the enemy can't stop the Word of God. We want to go over to the book of Psalms 91, and we want to move forward with what God is doing in the house tonight. And the Word declares like this. It begins to speak over in Psalms. I mean, this is a powerful scripture. Let me give you details about the word of Psalms 91 for those who don't use it as a protection in your life and where God has taken you. It talks about the dwelling place of the secret of the Most High. But Psalms 91 speaks directly of every person who has a fear of safety and security. The original author, some say that it was by Moses, but it's just a suggestion of who really wrote this. Some skeptics and some so-called scholars do try to put a reformational name on it and say it is what it is. But one thing about Psalms 91, it draws us as a protection to come near to God as we begin to understand how it is the utmost highest and how it is the most secret place that every one of us has got the ability to dwell in according to the Word of God. It starts off and it begins to speak over in Psalms 91. It says, who you dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Now, right there, when we look at that, and as I said before, we're going to have some technical problems, so it looks like we're running into some stuff right now. For those of you hearing me, just hang on as we straighten this technical problem out, and we're going to move forward on the Word. As we said, we're in Psalms 91, and it goes on and says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, it should abide under the shadows of what? The Almighty. And now in this previous verse, it introduces the introduction of God's safety. The God's safety that when we understand that the Psalms points to one of the main passages through the unfeeling and unhurtful and untrusting hearts of those who seem to be in the position to where they're going to fall. And now most of us get to a fear place in our life that we don't understand what is going on and how God is going to bring us through. But we begin to parallel the scriptures and understand. We take it back to the Old Testament. God does declare and he does decrees a word over in the book of Jeremiah 32:17. Now, when you hear understand Jeremiah 32:17, it tells us very clearly, is there anything too hard for him to do? And we understand even we got sicknesses in our body. Things seem to not be going right. Jeremiah 32:27 begins to declare and decree that he created all flesh. Well, when we look at the scripture over in the book of Psalms 91, and you go to Amplified version, it says it like this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall be stable, fixed under the shadows of the Almighty. Listen to this. Whose power has no force and has no understanding of how the power of God is due. In other words, it says, whose power no force can withstand the enemy that comes at you. No force can withstand. And it believes in the Word of God, and it begins to let us understand that the loving protection of God is like us putting our hands, like a mother hen putting her wings around that particular chick that's going through whatever it may be, the fear. It harbors when the wolf begins to come, and it begins to come in and try to just take out everything in it that's unable to take care of itself. A mother is designed to fight on the behalf of the children. When we don't know how to take care of ourselves and we're young infants and we're out there just running around, seem to have fun, sometimes strangers come along. As they come along, they get try to destroy that what God has already put in place. That means what God has brought onto the mother, onto that family. And his job is to bring all kind of division in by trying to manipulate it or taking out one of those what God has put in place and given to that particular family. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? But we understand, according to the Word of God, that it says that even when you go to the second verse in Psalms 91, in the second verse, it says, I will say of the Lord. I'm going to read this from the Amplifier first, and I want you to catch this. And it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. On him I will lean and rely on. In him I will be confident and trust. This is the Amplified version saying that. Now, what you want to walk back and look at is this passage of the power, how you lean on. I will cling. I will rely. Meaning I put all my trust in him. In other words, all my help comes from the Lord as I begin to trust in him, no matter what my proclivity may be, no matter what kind of problem I may be, no matter what kind of soothsaying spirit may come against me. The word does declare in his decrees that all my help comes from him. This is a powerful passage. My mother gave it to me years ago. even as a young man playing collegiate sports and going out in the world and not knowing what to expect. But she showed to me with this word and said, son, I need you to read this every morning. It's still the number one chapter in the book for protection of anybody who's going through any problem in their life. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? That when you seem like you've been feared, I don't care if you're a man or woman of God has a ministry, and it don't seem like things are moving in the direction they need to go in. Your job is to trust in God. The Bible says trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, but the knowledge of God in all his ways, and then what he will direct your past. He's talking about leaning on him. The Bible says lean on God. He's got to be a leaning post in your life. Even when you're going through sickness, you're going through health, it seems like things are not moving in the right direction you want to move in. God said, I'm an ever-present helper in every time of need. And I want to show you this in the name of Jesus. We go to Psalms 46. I want to show you the power that's behind Psalms 91. Let's go to Psalms, football Bible, Psalms 46. I want to show you something here in Psalms 46. Very familiar scripture. You see it a lot in a lot of times of death and go out and do certain funerals. You hear a lot of people use this, but it's more than what you can see. It's really more than what you can hear. It's really more than you will ever understand or ever see. In other words, 1 Corinthians said, the eyes have not seen, the ears never heard. Neither has it ever entered the heart of any man the things that God has in store for you. In other words, his protection on you leans and gets you to understand that when you speak the word of God, he's a right now God in a right now situation. The Bible declares and creeds that you all pray in all kinds of prayers. When you're sitting at your desk, you have to pray. You don't have to get loud. You may be sitting down, you don't have to get a large vein in your neck. The Bible says pray. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who seem to shut you down. Pray for those who come against you. Pray for the one who's trying to get you fired on your job. Pray for them. And you will see the word of God will begin to move in the retrospect of what he's called you, in the man of God he's called you to be, in the walk of the life he's called you to be in. Now, the word of God does decree, it does declare, and it says it like this. He says, no good things, according to Psalms 84:11, will I withhold for them that walk upright. Well, we could take it over to Psalms. We look at Psalms 89:34. God said he will not alter his covenants. I'm trying to show you the power and protection of God's word. When you're going through things in your life, you're going through change, you don't know which way to go. Up, look down, and right, look wrong. It don't look like you know how to tell a spade from a spade. You look like a cow at a new gate. But God has declared by the word of God, if you lean not to your own understanding, but if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he's got to direct your path according to his word, according to his power. He said, according to the word of God over here in Psalms 46, he said, God is a refuge. Listen to this real good. God is a refuge. He's a strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth may move. Am I talking to anybody? And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Did that sound like anything? I don't care if an earthquake's going all around you in the physicality. God said you're protected according to the kingdom of God. You're protected by his word. Now, he says it again when you think about the first part of Psalm 46. He said he's a very refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. That means right now when you open your mouth and declare the word of God, he's right there to deliver you from whatever it may be. When you look at the book of Hebrews, he talks about the faith is the evidence of things not seen, that what things are hoped for. Meaning when God tells you that he's got your back, he's got your back. And it doesn't matter what it looked like, what the doctor told you, what it may be going on in your life. I'm not talking to anybody on this radio report tonight. God has guaranteed a word according to the book of Numbers 23:19-21, that he's a God that he should not lie, nor he's a son of a man that he should have to repent. The commandment is given. His touch has been given. Now, what we need to do as being men and women of God, we need to stop sitting back like we got rigor mortis in our body. Stop complaining. Stop wearing your heart on your sleeve. Stop giving in to things that you know you're not supposed to give into. Stop doing stuff you know you're not ought to do. Knowing that God sees you, you got to answer to everything you do in his life, in your life. God has declared and decreed that you got to give account for every idle word. That means even though when you're behind the scenes, you're not living right, you're not doing things right, God is telling you, according to Galatians 5:16, to walk in the Spirit, that you might fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. Because he tells you the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Let's move on here. I want you to take it down to the verse 3 in Psalms 91. Turn back there. He says, surely he should deliver you from the snares. You got to catch this. It's powerful right here. He will deliver you from the snares of the fowlers and from the noosed pestilence. Am I talking to anybody? The snares of the fowlers were the demon forces of darkness that possessed Christ. Am I talking to anybody? The evil religious leaders of Jesus' day, in order that they might bring some kind of a negative capacity to make him withdraw from what God has declared him to be. And I'm going to stop it right there because I want you to see something here. When you parallel the scripture with the word of God over in the book of John, John begins to speak a prophetic word to us in the scripture, and he begins to say, if you turn your Bibles over to the book of John, I know I'm taking through a lot of scriptures, and I may be moving kind of fast, but you got to understand that this thing is designed for you to not catch it all right now, but maybe you to take notes, and it is to make you go back and read this stuff again. That's why God's got me moving the way I move. That's why I minister what I minister. I don't want you to grasp everything from my tongue right now. I want you to get your pen and begin to write. And as you begin to write, God will enable you to go back and look at this stuff all over again and begin to line it up according to what I'm saying. I guarantee you by the word of God, it will line up. I promise you that. When you look at the book of John 14, and we're just moving through scripture here, got a little time, want to move forward. He said, when you look at John 14, it declares the word over in John 14, and it says it like this. Let's start at the John 14 and 10. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He gives you a question mark there. We're talking about the power of God and the presence of God. And the believing in the one who he sent to do the work that he called him to do. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The works that I speak, the words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? The Bible said that there's a big old Jesus on the inside of you. So Jesus began to get you to understand, believe it or not, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you is not of myself. In other words, I didn't come to do the work myself. I came to do the work of the one who sent me. But the Father that dwelleth in me does the work. I said the Father is going to do the work. Meaning when you look at Psalms 91, he talks about the process of how when you're in the snares of the nuisance and of the pestilence, all kinds of people shooting spears at you from afar off, talking about you, putting you down, saying you ain't got the ability to do anything. But God has already gave you a hedge of protection. Just as they did his son, Jesus Christ, they're going to do to you also. So what you need to try to do is learn how to have duck feathers. Don't wear your heart on your sleeve. Begin to trust in the word of Psalms 91. But he goes on over in John 14. He begins to say it this way. He said, believeth I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. In other words, he's going to do the work. If you don't believe in the one who sent me, believe me that the works that I'm about to do. Because I'm going to show you signs, wonders, and demonstration. He goes on over in the 12th verse. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he should do also. Is anybody here? I'm talking about some faith. He said, greater work than he should do, because I go now to my Father. The power of the Holy Spirit is designed not to fall, but to uplift. It's got the ability to equalize everything above the playing field. Anything the devil throws at you, you got the ability to counteract with the word of God. Everything that ever took place in your life, and everything went through, I don't care if it's sickness, surgery, whatever, your job is to make your request known according to the word of Romans 4 and 17. Call things in faith that be not what they were. And believe what it says in Hebrews 11. Faith is evidence. You don't see it yet, but you got to believe that it's already done. If you can't mirror it in your mind, it would never take place. God needs people with that manna between their brains that can believe that whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're going through, God has got the ability to bring you out. I don't care, ladies and gentlemen, if you're so far down the ground, somebody got to pump light down to you. You can come out of whatever that you're in. Don't be fooled by the devil. Don't be duped, as we said on the last week's subject. Don't let the devil come in and dictate your life. When God has given you the power of the Holy Spirit and gave you the ability, according to the word, to call things that be not though if they were, we got to believe what it says in Psalms 91 and 3. Surely he should deliver you from the snares of the fowlers, those foul pestilence, those nuisance things that come at you. The quality in which it comes in, it's a nuisance. The quality in what the demons try to come at you with is a nuisance. It plagues you. You can't even sleep at night. without somebody saying something to you or gossiping on the phone. One thing I could tell you about people who gossip on the phone, you got to understand what it says in Proverbs 18 and 21. You got to believe that and understand and realize that the life is in the life and death is in the power of the tongue. When you get people on the phone talking to you and saying things you ought not to say, your job is to get off that phone. Sometimes people say something to you, take 2 or 3 weeks to get that stuff out your mind. Shut that phone off and get off that line and stop talking to those folk and stirring up all kinds of gossip and bashing and back talk. And before you know, you caught up in the midst of all that stuff. Before you know, you got demons running all around your house about gossiping about something that you ought not to be speaking about or saying anything of. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? He goes on over in the Psalms 91. It says in the 4th verse, he should cover you, listen to this, with his feathers. On his wings you should trust. His trust should be your shield and buckler. I believe the word of God says in Ephesians 6 and 10, I believe in 6, just in 6, put on the whole armor of God. This passage, the scripture, when you look at it, it talks about being in the presence of the holies of holy. It speaks where God dwells between the cherubims and the mercy seat. He invites Christians, or he invites Christ to dwell there with him. Those who walk with Christ will understand and realize that Christ paid the price for us, that the Holy Spirit may dwell in us. We read this over in the book of 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. You got to do your homework. If you're going to walk with God, you got to line the word of God. If you just can't get on it talking any kind of stuff and believe anybody believe anything. If you're going to be a teacher of the word, then you need to study to show yourself approved. That a workman may not. Am I talking to anybody? It says over in Psalms 91, and you go over to 5, verse 5, it says, you should not be afraid of a terror by night, nor the arrow that fly by day. I'm talking about that Proverbs 18, that Proverbs 18 and 21. Those who got that tongue, be shooting arrows from afar off on you, talking about you, putting you down, telling you what you can't do, telling you all the negative things about you, whether they're trying to put you up. I told you life and death is in the power of tongue. Do you know people can kill you with their tongue if you believe it? That's why you got to shut them demons off. You got to lose them in a different direction. You got to stay away from those soothsayers, because they have no good interest for you. The Bible says separate yourself. In other words, the word of God declares a creed that evil communication corrupts good judgment. If you got a bunch of negative stuff, in other words, you're not designed to be a garbage can. You can't let anybody put anything in you and in your head that make you believe other than what God has already said to you according to the word of God. The book of John 15 declares and decrees, when you read over in John 15, it says now in John 15 and 3, now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Jesus is talking about being a part of the true vine. As he speaks over in John 15, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch, you got to be a part of the branch. That's why when we get on down in Psalms 91, he said you got to get someone, you got to get planted like a tree by the rivers of water that bring forth this fruit in season. How are you going to be a tree and you keep jumping up and down every time a situation comes on? Shut up. Every time something comes up, you go to mama and complain. Get down on your knees and talk to God about it. You don't have to mama to nobody about it. You got a problem, talk to the Lord about it. The reason you having the situation you're in because you telling your business to everybody around you. Wasn't it getting on your knees and talking to God about it? I heard an old preacher tell me, it's called the University of Neology, that you got to get down on your knees and you got to pray and talk to God about your problems. Rather than complaining to somebody who can't do nothing for you. God is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's designated and designed and engineered to give you everything you need according to the power and the purpose of God. He goes on and says over in the 6th verse, nor see any pestilence that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wait at noonday. The pestilence that walk in darkness pertains to every source of satanic demon forces that try to come at you. Am I talking to anybody? The direction of the weakness, the direction of the weak, which is in the noonday, refers to Satan destroying the great multitude, yet but not teaching the children of God who's dwelling in the secret place. In other words, Satan's not designed to take you in. Let me say that again. It's designed to destroy. Satan's job is designed to destroy the great multitude of God. It's designed to get in to cause division. When your house begins to grow, when your church begins to go, when your prayer life begins to increase, here comes Satan. He want to throw a hook in your head. He want to make you remember what you was doing back then when you was Susie or when you was with Bobby. the things you used to do when you was getting, when you were talking a little spicy back in the days, and your mouth wasn't controlled right. He's trying to get you feel unfamiliar that you can't change. But I hear the word of God telling me in my spirit, but if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How you going to blame a young born baby for that? They ain't sin yet. That's how Christ looks at you. But I'm going to tell you how a negative person gets in you and try to make you feel opposite of what God has told you. The Bible does declare and decree and say he is through your sins in the sea of forgiveness. In other words, a person who comes in your face, they got a special type of scuba gear and go down in that sea of forgiveness, find your sins and throw it back in your face. But I heard the word of God say they are nuisance pestilence, that you got to get away from them. The Bible said those who wait upon the Lord would mount up with wings of eagles. They just soar in the name of Jesus. Am I talking to anybody tonight? He goes on and says about that a thousand. When we look at Psalms 91 and 7, he said a thousand shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. I'm talking about being in the presence of the power of God. The instructions seem to be happening all around you, but you won't even get touched. Untold millions have been destroyed by the powers of darkness. All over the world, we hear the news about people's lives been taken. The media mentions it every night, but it hadn't come to your household. It hadn't come to you. God protected you in the midst of a destruction and dying situation. God kept his hands around you, and he declared the word of God that even when you spoke it, God was going to do just what he said he's going to do. Well, we move on to the 91 verse, I mean Psalms 91 and the 8 verse, excuse me, getting a little ahead of myself, but I want you to hear, because for the sake of time, we got to move on this, and I want you to get your pencils and paper and write this stuff down. He says in Psalms 91 and 8, only with your eyes should you behold and see the rewards of the wicked, the results of living without God are obvious. Look around you. Look at some of the things they go through. Look at some of the problems they deal with. He says in the ninth verse, because you have made the Lord, the reason they won't come near you, because you have made the Lord, you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High of your habitation, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit here speaks that the Messiah assures victory by the Holy Spirit only because he's made the Lord his refuge. In other words, your victory is only because you made the Lord your refuge. He goes on in the 10th verse, and we move into this thing really quick because I got some things I want to talk to you about after this. He goes on in the 10th verse. He says, should no evil befall you, neither should any what plague come to your dwelling. Listen to me. Because he dwells in the secret place of the Most High. It is impossible. It is impossible for evil to befall you. Let me move over to the Amplifier verse, the Amplifier book, and let me look at it in the 10th chapter because I want to check this out real good as we go along in the Spirit. He says it like this in the Amplified. There should no evil befall you, nor plagues, listen to this, nor calamity come near your what? Your tent. That means your house, your dwelling place, wherever the Holy Spirit dwells, whether you're in the office, whether you're in the church, whether you're out in the marketplace, whether you're in the mall, wherever you live, the Holy Spirit puts a hedge around you. Can't nothing come near you in your car driving. Speak the word of God over your family in the name of Jesus, that God will hedge them, and nothing will come against them in any form or any shape or any fashion. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to slow here for a minute. I want to show, we got some questions that's popping up on the line, and the line is turning all blue. And I got a person that's going to be asking a question here at the 989-753 area code. I'm going to click you in. I want you to come on with it, and let's hear what you have to say. 989-753.
Who is that?
That is Michigan. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. 989-753. You got a few minutes? Okay, well, that caller was just maybe hitting the line and didn't have anything to say at this time, but God bless him. Sometimes we get on there, we get lockjaw, and because we get the word, but we don't receive it in a way they need to receive. So sometimes we get them buttons, we hit those buttons, and they get on and just lock up. But that, no, don't worry about that 989, because we got our hands around you. We believe that God has got you protected. Whatever question you had, we already got you locked away in the name of Jesus. But he goes on. And he speaks this word profoundly once again as we look over in the 11th verse. I'm going to read the 11th verse from the Amplified Version. He says, he will give his angels, listen, especially charge over you. Accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obstacles or service. In other words, obedience and service. Obstacles. I mean, when you got orange cones all in your life. How many people went through detours and they seen all these orange, some people got orange cones all in their life. Detour signs everywhere. But your obedience takes you through those obstacles. When you seem like you're in the opposition position, you don't seem to know which way to go. God said, I will be the GPS system in your life. Ain't that something? When you drive your car, those of you got GPS system, you can be crying and be confused and yelling and talking on the phone, be all mixed up. But you know that lady never changes her voice. That lady keep on talking. Turn left. Make a legal U-turn. And that's how we got to do sometime in our life. Sometimes the word of God tells us keep going straight in life. He says just keep on going straight. Just keep on going straight. And all of a sudden, we get to going so straight, we were like the children of Israel, or the Egypt out there in the middle of the desert. Moses are taking them around, but they say, well, where are we going? And then they begin to buck against the system. And God telling you, even in your walk in Christ, that even though you don't see where you're going, if you trust me, land and your destination will be right ahead of you. But no, we want to keep going. We want to use our legal mind. And we try to believe that when we think of from an educational sense that God don't know what he's doing. But God be telling you, it's like that woman on a GPS system. Just keep on going straight. I know it look like you ain't going to go in the right direction. I know it look like I'm going to sign around. But he said, but the next 5 miles, I want you to turn off to the left. And you said, no, that's going too far. And then you get off the lane where you want to get off at. And then that thing will come back on there with any obstruction or anger. And it said, make a legal U-turn. Go back in the direction you need to come from. And you know what? We'll fight that thing. And that's what God is telling of us. Some of us got in life, we got to learn how to make a legal U-turn. And we got to go back in the direction that God has called us to go in. Because sometimes we'll get off course. We'll claim that we hear the word of God, but education begins to step in. And sometimes God calls some illusiveness to happen in our life. We get all twisted. We get all discombobulated. We find ourselves lost and trapped in all kinds of directions. Don't know which way to go. Up look down and right look wrong. We can't tell a spade from a spade, but the word of God declares and decrees. When you come back over in Psalms 91:11, for he should give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your way. This shows how much Satan knows the Bible. Listen to me. Yet you should dash your feet against the stone. Look how Satan quotes the word of God that he said. He said, he should give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Look how Satan quotes the same word when you look over in Matthew 4:11, I believe, and Luke 4:10-11. Satan, however Satan corrupts the scriptures, by omitting all your ways, you got to trust in the Lord. Place your trust in the Lord. The Messiah's path. The Bible says, wide is the path and narrow is the gate. Few that walk therein. Likewise, all those who walk after him will be dependent on him by faith to know that you're assured for the victory in your life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he goes on in the 12th verse. He said, they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against. Who will bear you up? He said, they shall bear you up. Who? The angel. He said, he just told you. He gives his angel in the 11th verse. They hold you up. I don't know if you ever watched a story called Touched by an Angel. It seems like things be happening all around these men and women of God. And so the angels just come divert the path and move it in a different direction. I don't know if you believe in angels or not, but I guarantee by the word of God, if you don't, you better stop. Because God got a word for most of us on this line. And sometimes he'll send a person to us to say something. We don't even receive it because we're so carnal-minded in our own wisdom and knowledge. We're so theologically sound in what we think was right. And God is trying to get us out of that position. He goes on, he speaks a very strong word in the 13th verse. He said, he's tread upon the lion and the adder, anything that's added, and the lion and the dragon, so you trample under your feet. Satan quotes these two verses. He quotes the 12th, the 11th, and the 12th, and his demise to try to get Jesus to fall off the top of the mountain in the temptation of Christ. He quotes this. He dares to quote in 13 because he promises defeat. Genesis 15 talks very strong. 3 and 15 talks very strong on this particular verse. He goes on, he moves in this very particular chapter. And I'm going to stick on this one for a minute. Because he has sent his, he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he knows my name. How many people believe that their name written in the Lamb's Book of Blood? How many people know, despite of all the problems, all the proclivities, all the negativity in their life, God has washed them away and gave them an example of a 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, that you are now new in Christ, that the enemy has no more bearing a hold on you. I don't care what they said about you, what it looked like from your own standpoint of view, God has already delivered you from the very what snares of the enemy. He's declared by his word that he put his love upon you. And when God said he loves you, it won't go back. He's going to speak what he's going to say. What did God say in the book of Numbers? We understand the presence and the power of God in Numbers, 23:19-20, am I a God? Didn't he say it? That I should lie? Or am I my what, son? And he ain't like one of us. Because, see, one of us, even men of God in the church, we'll come to lie to one another about something. But God will not back his word. He will not go to a point that his word will go defeated. He will back his word. That's what it says in Isaiah 11:55. So forth the words that go forth from my mouth shall not come unto you void, but accomplish all that in which I sent it to. It will do everything God declared it to do. My ways, your ways. My thoughts, your thoughts. You ain't even close. He says in the 15th verse, excuse me, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. He will deliver me. I will honor him. Listen to me. He'll deliver you. Anybody ever been in a position in your life, had something happen, the doctor gave you a bad report? You don't have time to get on your knees in the doctor's office. You got to know that you know that you know that God is a very present help. As we read over in the book of Psalm 46, that God is a very present help in a very present time of need. That means he will not leave you. But what they have to do, what you have to do is have the faith. In other words, you got to be like the man when Jesus came off the mountain of transfiguration over in Mark 9, and the man had a demoniac son that was cursed with demons. And he began to ask Jesus, and he asked Jesus, my son is severely possessed. And he quoted the word that his disciples weren't even able to heal him. And the disciples were behooed and baffled, and I've man, he should have lined all of them like the three stews and slapped all of them, because they saw the power of what they're able to do through what God has showed them, through his son. And he said, how long has the man been like this? How long the boy had been like this? He said, he often throws himself in the water and into the fire to try to kill him. Jesus began to loose the very spirit off this young man. And then he turned to the man of God who had the son. He said, if I can believe, Mark 9 and 23, if I can believe, you got to believe. I don't know about you, but I got a report today to make me feel really good. I had a sister who was facing some things. You don't need to know about it. But I heard the word of God speak loudly to me and give her a word that she would be delivered from whatever it is that's in her body. I got the report about 7:40 last night that when they went in and looked and saw what they thought they saw, they didn't see what they say they said. They said, did you have surgery? She said, no. Well, whatever was there ain't there no more. Am I talking to anybody? Don't tell me what God can't do. These scriptures and these words and this teaching I give you is prophetic utterance to you to walk strictly in the area of faith. And you got to believe and declare and decree by the word of God that anything that try to come in your way, you got to understand that the word of God is declared in your life on the physicality end, that he was wounded. He said he was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The Bible declares that the chastisement was upon him, and it's by his stripes that you already healed. You got to catch the inclements on this. You was wounded. You was bruised for his transgressions. He was bruised. He was. God paid the cost for everything, that you won't have to worry about anything. Am I talking to anybody tonight? In this time of the segment, I always roll into the word of salvation about those who want to be saved, those who want to give their life to Christ. I don't care if you say you done been there already, it's good for you to even say it again and go along with the ones who are online. But before we get to that point, I want to open the lines up for questions for anybody who have a question containing and dealing with this area of how God is one of the safest places in the universe, in the hands of God, is the safest place in the universe, on the universe, anywhere in the universe. He's the safest one. Those of you who are calling into the show and want to be a part of the show and the answers and questions are going on here, you can dial this number, 347-637-1074. Any question that you want to ask, you can go to your phone, you can push the little number one tattletale button. And as you push that button, it'll open you and bring you into the studio. And I see I got one caller who's in there right now in the blue. And I'm going to get to you, 989. Give me just a second. Let me get this 214-476 number that's been holding for a minute. I want to open up the radio station to this person. 476, you're on the line. 214-476, you're in the studio. Amen. God bless the person in the name of Jesus. I'm going to go over to 989-753, who's in the studio. You're on the line.
How you doing, my brother? Pastor Ellis,
you,
this
man.
Is your brother, Preston.
Hey, what man?
Out of Second
God
of Michigan.
Bless. God
yeah,
bless
just
you,
calling you, enjoying what you've been saying about the Lord tonight and encouraging people to walk in the Spirit. You will, you know, accomplish your what you asking the Almighty to do for you. I was just wondering, what did you mean by do you mean by jumping around? Do you mean by not being planted in one church and just going around and, you know, just visiting churches and not playing an active role in the church, or is it just you shouldn't be a part of more than one church?
Yeah, let's take the question from a natural point of view. You know, it's nothing wrong with anybody going out visiting churches. That's no harm at all. But God wants you to get somewhere and be active in what you're doing. You know, if you go to the supermarket, you go to what you call one of the places out here to go buy shrubbery or something like that, it's unplanted. Mm-hmm. You let it set out of the soil in which it needs to be planted to receive the fruit and the nutrients that it needs, it will by means
yes.
die. In other words, it's only out of the ground for a temporary time, meaning when you begin to pray and ask God what direction you need to go in, what church he wants you to be a part of, what vision he's given you, as you begin to visit, I believe through the power of the Spirit, you got to pray and you got to ask God. And when you begin to lose your heavenly lane, speaking of, I will give you pinpoint accuracy and what he wants you to be, what you get in. And he'll put you like a puzzle. But when you get there, conviction sometimes not to hurt you but to help you. Men of God speak the word in such a way as it cuts you. But the word of God is designed to cut you in such a way to make you understand this is something you need to work on. It's not for you to get up and run away from it. Because if you're running, you are constantly running. As you run, guess what happens? You keep running to the like a person who constantly takes your radio down in the background. There's a TV going. It's kind of interrupting the show here. We want to turn that radio down back there, please.
Yeah.
As you continue to go forth, God is showing you that you got to get someone to get planted. But let's go to the word. Let's break this up a little bit. And it says over here, if you read on down, it says over here in Psalms 91. I want to make sure I get to that point. He says that, he said, here it says, then because I started the first verse, and I'm going to move this pretty swiftly because no one else has got the hands of a question, so I can take some time with you here. He said, who the dwellers in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. He goes on down here, and he said, surely he shall deliver me from the snares of the pestilence. He goes on down and said that even in the Father, in the fourth verse, he should be covered. He was covered with the feather, and his wings you should take what? You should trust him. His truth should be your shield and your buckler. But he goes on and says that the nuisance pestilence of the darkness, this is a protection where God wants you to be to get planted somewhere. The Bible declares that you should be planted like a tree by the river. The river represents the Holy Spirit. The leaves, in other words, that should not flourish, meaning that when you look at the opposite of John 15, the Bible declares over in John 15, he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch, look what he says now, I want you to catch this, every branch in me that bears fruit. Now, when you got a tree that can't bear fruit, what happens to it?
Mm-hmm.
It gets destroyed. All you have to do is go outside and take a good branch on a tree, break it off, and lay it out there in the sun and see how long it takes to wither away. See how long the shaft begins to crumble and the winds of the leaves begin to blow away. If you're not connected, you by no means will get the very fruits that you need to bring forth that what God has given unto you is being a part of the true vine. That's why the word of God declares in you, in the God, that you got to get someone you had planted. If you're unfamiliar about where you need to go, your job is to search the kingdom of God. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me? My job is not to sit here in the house all day long, but to do the work of the kingdom while you still give me breath in my body. Show me where you want me to go. There's nothing wrong with you visiting churches. No, you're going around places and checking things out, and you ask the Lord, Lord, is this where you want me to be? And God will give new means, give you a sign of where you need to be. But I believe, man of God, as you begin to get planted, like he says over in John 15, that you're part of the vine. And when the vine gets planted, you go on and look what he says in the second verse. The branch in him that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away. That's a person who's just lazy, just sitting back and just complaining about everything about the church and knowing what he want to go into the house of God. Uh-huh. Every time somebody got something to say. But he said that bringeth forth fruit, he prune it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Yeah. When you go into the house of God, the world is the mission field. Word of God declares in the creed that you ought to go throughout all what the world and proclaim the gospel. You don't have to lead people to the aisles of the church. You got to lead people to the kingdom of God. That when you minister the word to them and deliver them to Christ and tell them God loves you, have you been saved? Have you been sanctified? Have you been filled with the precious power of the Holy Spirit? And they say, no, do you want to receive it now in Jesus' name? And you can deliver them right now. Give you an old woman. I don't give you the ice. Your job is to get a word, and God will continue to show you in the direction he needs you to go in. And even when the word declares and decrees over in the book of Jeremiah 1 and 5, he said before he formed you, he knew you. Before you were knitted in your mother womb, God gave you a gift. You got all kind of negative prophecy going on around the world. People prophesying about this, prophesying about that, saying God is doing this stuff. Your job is to line up with the word of God and believe what God is telling you, but by no means fail you in your walk with Christ. Line up with the kingdom, declare the word of God, stay faithful to the word of God, and pray. Do much prayer. And you will find out what God will lead you. I would say those who walk in the Spirit are led by the Spirit. John 4:24 says spirits talk to spirits. It don't talk to negativity, it talks to spirits. You got to believe and declare by the word of God that he will not lead you astray. He will not lead you by no means astray because he loves you. The Bible says he set his love upon you.
Yes.
As he says over here in the book of Psalms 91. He said he set love upon you. So why would somebody love you lead you astray? Why would somebody love you lead you down a dark alley and cause you to fall by the foot of the enemy? No, God says in John in Psalm 14 that he put his love upon you. He says love upon me, but therefore I will deliver him. He will deliver you. I will set him on high because you know his name.
Yes.
God will give you everything you need according to the kingdom of God. Well, man of God, we got more questions popping up here. Somebody coming in again. I don't know if the button is stuck here over in the area of 214-476. I'm going to hit you once again until then, you know, try to bring you on and see if you've got some questions or answers. You're at 214-476. Is there a question you have? Is there something pertaining to the study that you want to ask? Well, they're still silent. Well, God bless you, brother. Anyway, this was 214-476. I want to get a whole number out. But you are on the line to hear the word of God. And I'm telling you, we got one coming in from the area code of 832-651. 651-832-651. You're on the line, and your mic is hot.
Hello?
Yes. Man of God, go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You got a question to answer for the study tonight? We on time limit.
It's just taking me back to when I was incarcerated. I used to read this verse all the time. I used to read Psalms 91 all the time, and it's like I haven't read it in a while. But it's like I have forgot because of the fact I haven't read it, you know. And I'm going through a lot of stuff right now. But it says says in the book that God will put you under his wings.
Amen. That's what he says. Yeah, he is and, show to you.
And he'll shift. You know what I'm saying? But I guess right now I just want things to move a little bit faster than, but I know that I can't rush God, and I know I can't rush the situation because I mess it up.
Let me say something to you about that, God. Can I interrupt you there for a minute? You said that word. You said move. You wanted to move a little faster. God is in his own timing. You can't push him. You can't thrust him. Sometimes God leaves you in a position to get you to understand that you can't continue to keep going back this way over and over again and starting again. So what happens, like anything else, once you get the momentum of something going and you stop it, what happens? It begins to lag. You get to get momentum going, you know, you want to keep momentum going. How you want to keep it going? By faith, by trusting, by belief. Let's just do the natural sense. Unless you use counterbalance, this is a weight of something or a relay or whatever it may be that triggers you. Whenever a relay person drops a baton, what happens? You ever ran collegiate sports? You ever did anything? Once the baton drops, the momentum of what it's designed to do stops. Does that make sense to you? That even though when you lose a race, the process of a 400-meter run, a 400-meter relay, is designed to pass the baton through every event, through every curve, through every straight. There's a struggle to be in the head, to be in the lead. But I heard the word of God saying, it's not given to the swift, and those who know, but those who endure to the end. So when you move with the word of God, you got to go back and you got to realize what it says over in 1 Corinthians 11:23. It's not anything that's against you. Sometimes you got to check your engine. The Bible says, first let a man examine himself. You got to see where you are in Christ. You got to see if you drop back or you move forward. Were you doing everything? You got to get a check sheet of yourself. Were I doing everything according to the kingdom of God while walking upright? And God said you were. And when you do everything that you know that you were doing, the Bible said when you know to do all, what did you say? Do stand. Stand, therefore, in the presence of God to know that he's going to deliver you whatever it is that you're dealing with. Because he wants you to stand still. That even when you don't see it moving, God said, I got a plan. Only I know the thoughts. According to Jeremiah 29:11, he said, only I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. He said, they are good and not of evil. But the process of being patient is one of the worst things that we deal with in the human era. We don't have patience. We don't know how to wait. The Bible said, if you wait on the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, he's about to do the renewing. And even when you fall to the side, when you fall to the left, the word of God says, even in the midst of the things you're going through, you still got your health and your strength. That when you wake up every day, guess what? You still got a chance to move forward what God is designed for you to do in your life. Now, we got more callers coming in, and I want to come back to you, but I want to get this one caller again, and I hope they have something to enlighten you. But I want you to hold on the line, and I want you to get off. I'm going to come back to you, all right? God bless you. Okay, we're going over to a 989-213, and we're going to light their mic up, and we're going to fire them up. We're going to hear what they have to say. 989-213, you're on the line.
God bless you.
God bless you, woman of God. Man, that was enthusiastic there. I almost wrung my ear a little bit there.
Amen, amen. Well, first off, I want to say I am really enjoying the Bible study because, you know, through the week, sometimes you have a lot going on where you can't make it to a Bible study. So, you know, coming on the line, that's very encouraging to come on and hear the word of God. So, you know, that helps you from Sunday when you go to church and you have a space in between, and then you get back in it on Tuesday when you can't make it to your service. So that's an awesome thing. Another thing I wanted to ask about is the song, the worship song that you played at the beginning of the
How He Loves Us.
At the beginning, yeah, Oh How He Loves Us, and I want to know who that song was by, first of all.
Mm-hmm. That jam is by a Chicago worship team called Mighty, I think it's the Mighty Hurricanes. Hurricanes
okay.
of Glory. I got this CD right over here in my studio.
Okay.
And I'm going to make sure you got the number to our location, I look through here for a second. I really don't have the time on me right now, but I want you to call
that's
me
fine.
Back.
That's
for those of you who have information concerning the some of the worship songs or this ministry, and you're available to call back here at the studio. At you can call me on my personal line, and I'll be able to speak with you. Now, don't get me 12 o'clock in the morning, but if it's an emergency, I'll receive it. but
okay.
Y'all can call me after the show concerning what you have to have, and I would let you know that my personal number, and I have no bones about it, is 214-870, which is a church number, 214-870-2146. Now, that's the church number. But my personal number is 214-870-2146. Now, I want you to get that. It's pretty much the same number, but you can catch it rings on two different ringtones, so it's two lines actually on that one phone. So those of you who want to know about this song and some of the songs I play, worship songs, you can't do that. Woman God, is there any other question that you
yes,
bring
it's
to my
one more thing.
And in the study?
It's one more thing that I wanted to talk about, Psalms 91. Psalms 91 is a scripture that I grew up on that my grandmother gave me. She always told us, the grandchildren and everything, that this is a protection scripture, and to read it, you know, at nighttime and before going out the house. But I like the whole chapter of Psalm 91 is very detailed, and it gives you, you know, instructions on what to do. But I like in verse 1 where he says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when you're abiding under dwelling in the secret place, you're in the spirit. You're walking in the spirit. And you're in the spirit of God, and he's got you under the protection, and he's going to reveal to you what he needs to reveal to you under the shadow of the Almighty. So I just love that you wrote this scripture, this chapter of Psalms 91 down, and I just wanted to say I thank God for you and co-pastor Patty Ellis, and God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, woman. God keep us in your prayers. We really appreciate that study you gave us just a few seconds ago. But I'm going to go back to this gentleman here at the 832. I know he's holding, and I want to hear what he has to say. He wasn't quite finished, but I want to bring 832-651 back in. We're about 30 minutes into the show, and I want to make sure I get to hear him. 832-651, you're on the line. You're back on with us.
All right. Well, you hear me, Pastor Ellis?
Yes, I am here. I am here.
Well, you know, I've been trying to do a lot of things. Like, you know, I've been trying to my best ability to follow God, you know, and do what he wants me to do. You know, you married me and my wife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just got out of jail from doing a lot of doing some time. But, you know, I thank God for putting me through that. Because if he didn't put me through that, I wouldn't know what I know now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thank God because I've been out of jail, like, about 4 months now. I've been working. You know, I got me a job now. I got an interview this week. I got an interview this week. You know, I'm probably going to be starting another job. So I really thank God for everything he's showing me. And everything that he's doing for me, you know, because before I went to jail, it was, you know how it was.
Yes,
I talked to you almost all the time, so you know how it was.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I got to stop rushing. You know, I got to stop trying to rush everything because I'm getting upset with my wife. You know, I'm getting upset with a lot of stuff that's going on because, again, I feel like I'm not where I'm supposed to be right now, you know. Even though God is doing all this stuff for me, and I'm very thankful for it, I'm still tripping because I feel like I'm not where I want to be, and it's kind of messing my relationship up, you know what I'm saying? And it's a lot. So with that, I'm glad that I didn't even know you was going to touch on Psalms 91 tonight. I didn't even know that, but I'm glad that I was on the line to hear that because I needed to hear it because that is one of the chapters that I read every day in jail for the whole 8 months I was in there, I read it every day, and it's and for me to be worrying, well, not even worrying, for me to be just thinking about stuff and not just really all my trust in God, because that's what it all boils down to. All my trust is not in God. You know, it's like I trust in him, but all of my trust ain't in God, you know, because I'm steady trying to do things my way, you know, not just my way, but just half his way and half my way, you know what I'm saying, and just thinking that's good enough, but it's really not, you know, and I'm just going through it, right now, but all I want to say is I just want everybody on the line, you know, everybody that's listening, to just pray for me and my family, you know, just pray that I get it together, you know, because I'm doing right, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying my best to stay on the right
side. Man of God, you know what, even let me just say something to this point. I want you to listen to me real good. You know, as a young spiritual man, a young son in the ministry, I want you to listen to me real good. Opposition don't always be there. The problem is the resource of how you handle opposition is the key to your success and what God is bringing you out of. If you go to the book of Ephesians, I want to show you something in the book of Ephesians, those of you online, for the sake of time we got left, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and the verse 13, I want you to write this down for those who are going to write it down. The word of God says this, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, I want you to catch this. I'm going to do this in increments. I'm going to read it out, and I'm going to break this down to you. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand in the evil days. How many people know we're living in evil days? And have it done all, look, stand. Now let me break something down to you. He said, well, for taking on to the whole arm of God because of what we face, this is what it's saying, that we may be able to stand in the evil days refers to the resist of the opposition of the power of darkness. It's going to come at you, brother. It's going to come at you. And before I even move any further in this, I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody in this Bible, there's nobody that have ever got all A's on their report card. I don't care who you is or how prophetic you're supposed to be. If you're in this earth, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Two people I know received their mortal bodies. That's Enoch and Elisha. No man is perfect. The Bible declares and decrees according to Romans 3. I believe it's Romans 6 and 3, Romans 3 and 23. He says, every man, I don't care who you are, from T.D. Jake to Bill Winston to every one of the most faithful, meet about every one of the prophets, everybody falling short. Paul even went through the process of falling short. So when men come against you and try to judge you, and the Bible says, judge ye not that ye may be judged, we all got motes in our eyes in the name of Jesus. When you look at the book of Galatians, it talks about in the book of Galatians how we all have suffered under some of the sin criteria in our life. It talks about the different of the lying, the heresies. When you look over in Ephesians 6, Galatians 6, 5, you flip your Bibles back a couple of pages, you look in Galatians 5, it talks about all these different things. And nobody is on this line. I don't care who you are, pastor, bishop, or anybody who stands there at the forefront and bring the word that God declares in the understanding, get you to understand. He said, walk in the Spirit. Did you not fulfill the lust and desires of the flesh? What is he telling you there, man of God? He said, if you walk in the Spirit, the direct one of life, the principles of the cross, peace be on them and mercy, which comes from the means of the cross, not from man. And the Bible declares and decrees that when you understand that there are some things that's going to come at you. They're going to deal with you. And you know what? Your job is not to give in to the opposition. The Bible declares over in the book of Ephesians, it says that you not just should give one inch, give not one place to the devil, that even when it seems like he's beating your head in. The Bible says, stand therefore in the presence of God and believe that the truth. The Bible says, stand with your lion's girt about the truth. The truth of the cross, having the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, which comes from sanctity of all, from every sanctity of the every of the cross. Let me rephrase that. The righteousness comes directly from the cross. The Bible says, stand with your feet shod. He said, preparation of the gospel. peace comes through the cross and the will that you put forth. The Bible says he knows your heart. He knows the plans and the thought he has for you. But what the enemy does, he sends a fiery dart from a negative Christian, somebody who posed to be a little bit better than you are. And the Word of God declares you ought not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And this is what we have in the body of Christ sometimes. People will shoot you down because you're going through. Whether they help you up, no, they're going to throw you back in the pit. And they'll call you all kinds of names according to the Word of God. But this is one thing they must remember when you go to the book of Ephesians. You look at Ephesians 2. I'm giving you some solid information. This is a prophetic utterance I'm giving you in the name of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, you walk with this, you're going to see the power of God work in your life. The Word of God declares on the book of Ephesians, he said, over Ephesians 2:2, he said, when we are now past times, walk according to the course of the world. Refers to the fact that we was unredeemed in order of behavior. We all did things. We all ran out and done things we ought not supposed to do. According to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in children of disobedience. We were all children of disobedience. Didn't nobody come out of the womb with the Holy Ghost? Didn't nobody come out of the womb saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit? Jesus died on the cross, then we have not the right to sin. So when you fall and you go through things, I'm not saying you got to do anything deliberately. But you're going to have some proclivities in your life. And any man that come to you to proclaim to be perfect through the scripture, he is a lie. And the truth ain't him. I say that one thing, he is a lie. And the truth ain't him. The Bible says you strive for perfection. Each and every day, life is a battle to everything you deal with. He goes on and said in Ephesians 2, he said, among whom also we were all had conversations in time past, and the lust of our flesh, evil cravings, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. The mind of unredeemed are the liberties of perverted thoughts and impressions of indignation and imaginations. We all have that. That's why Romans tell us that our mind has got to be renewed. That's why he declares the word of God even on your life. That he said, I beseech you, brother God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. He didn't never tell you when you receive the word of grace that everything is going to be right in your life. He said, you got some trials that you got to go through. And going through those trials, I will deliver you and help you. To know that when you go through these trials, you may not want to go back that way again. If you think to go back that way, you all might want to back. You might want to look back at what you went through before you step back into that zone. In other words, don't get too far off hand from God. Don't get so far that he can't reach you, that he can't pull you out of the monkey mob to bring you back in the position you need to be in. We're running close to our time in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank each and every one. I got one more person holding. I'm going to get them in this at a 214-476. And if you're on the line, you've been holding for a while, you are on the air. If you have something you have to say.
Yes, Pastor Ellis. Psalm 97.
Yes, you're on the line.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, where it says 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. I was thinking about that, and that's a really scary position. And even though it says, you know, earlier in the verse how we're under his wings, you know, it's easy to forget that when stuff is happening all around you. And it feels like, you know, you're unprotected. It feels like, you know, you're not in a safe place. And when you were speaking about faith earlier, that's what, you know, weakens our faith. Because we look in, you know, around us at the parallel, and we're not looking in vertical.
Amen. Amen. Truth being said. In other words, your eyes, as you said, your eyes is, in other words, your senses cause you to fall. When you're walking in the spirit, you can't walk with your ear. Listen to what I'm saying. In the physicality, you can't walk with your ear. You can't walk with your eyes. You can't walk with your nose. You can't walk with your mouth. Because those things got to be reduced to the spirit. In other words, when you're reduced to the spirit, he tames them the way he wanted to be tamed. You see through the spirit. You smell through the spirit. You speak through the spirit. You hear through the spirit. You walk us through the spirit. You ruin yourself. In other words, you lose yourself over to God. You hand yourself over to God. That's why he said that the hedge of protection to be around you, that when he gave his angels charge over you to keep you. This shows us how much Satan knows the Bible. Remember, the Word of God talks about how Satan quoted these very scriptures to Christ, that you dash your foot against the stone. Go ahead. I'll give you all this land. Satan's effort and temptation, it failed. And also it can fail in you. If Jesus Christ resisted them, you can resist them. But this is where the problem comes in at. That even when you fall, you got to know and declare and decree by the power of God that you got the ability to come back at whatever it is that the enemy tried to come against you with. The first lady is on the line, has always got a problem, always got something she has to say in the name of Jesus, and I just want to fire her up. Yeah, I know she got my young daughter back. You might hear us. But first lady, co-pastor Patterson line, we got 20 minutes right now. We're going to let her speak concerning Psalms 91 and let her speak out. For all of you on the line, listen to this woman of God and what she has to say. Now, either she got off the line or she just misguided. I think her mic is probably giving her some problems, but she's on the line, and I think she's getting a bad communication here. But we do have co-pastor on the line, and she's tuned in, but we're not picking her mic up. But I'm going to go back to this woman of God who's over in the 214-476 number and speak with her concerning what the Word of God declared about a thousand should fall to the left, a thousand should fall to the right. We get these everyday women of God. How the enemy shows us that he's taking souls. People are dying. People are getting shot. People are getting killed. People have been mass murdered. We hear it on TV every day. Children have been taken away. The media give us all the confirmation that the devil, demonic spirit is in the earth. And it's designed to take you out if you give in to it. And what we have to do, woman of God, is declare this word of God over our life. And don't believe the word that Satan has given us, because that's a lie. God has given us the word of truth. The word of Jeremiah 1 and 8 tell us that we ought to meditate on these words day and night. We need to know the word of God. We need to have the word of God in the heart. I think we got some more. We got another call coming in. Is that with you, woman of God, or the 214-476? Is that clear on you? I think she may have dropped off as well, but God bless her. But
hello?
Are you back there again? Okay, yeah. I was saying, are you there? Is that good enough for you? Or is there something else you need to get in on it? Because I got two more lines waiting. I want to get them, and I want to bring them in and hear what the Word of God has to say concerning them.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say, basically. It's, you know, we don't realize how much protection we actually have being under his wing. And like I said, when everybody's falling and the situation is shaky, it's easy to lose faith, but that really kind of holds up the process of what he's trying to do for us.
Amen. 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 I agree 100% with that. 989-213, you're back on the line. Is that something you have to say before we close out?
No, Pastor. No, sir.
Amen. You guys all got your lines lit up, and I don't know who to go to. They got them all lit up, but if you guys touch your number one button, it'll bring you back out of the studio, and that way when you hit that number one button on your phone, it'll bring you back out of the studio, and you won't be lit up, and I won't hit you letting you know. But we want to go into our salvation call. I mean, this is a very powerful scripture dealing with the area of salvation, something we do here at Harvest New Life Church, and we invite everybody that even when you know you have been saved to receive the word of God through what we call the verbal, and we always take you over to the scriptures, and it says over in the book of Romans, we got Romans 8, 9. I know I give it to you guys, I break it to you, but I want you to see what it says in Romans 8, 9, and 10. 10, we actually go to the 10th chapter, I'm sorry, and we're going to look at 8, 9, and 10 as I flip over to there. And this is a pledge of the Spirit that I wrote for myself, that I give to those who are in need. Usually co-pastor says it out and I says it out, but we've given it to you in such a way that you can receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. It says over here that when I break this to you, it said, but what does it say? Meaning that, in other words, it says how to be saved. That's what it's actually telling you. It says the word is near you, the word of God, even in your mouth. It speaks of the confession which we must come from the confession must come from the mouth, in order for one to be saved. Even as the Paul speaks this word in the Rome, he talks about, I was saved in the next verse, and your heart proclaims a part of the man or the woman in which faith is gained, and it may become gained. In other words, and he said, preach the presence of the declaration. It talks about the declaration. You know, you sometimes you get in school, you say the presence of the legions of the flag. And it took a lot of that out of the school. But it goes on and speaks about, but if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead, pertains to the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's obvious. It's very simple. That he was the only one raised from the dead. We look at Lazarus' situation, but now we look at the Messiah, who not only Lazarus raised from the dead, but Jesus conquered death. He whooped death. In 1 Corinthians 6, he said, death, where is your sting? Where is the grave? In other words, he took death, and all the ones who believed in Christ, in Hebrews 11, now far off, when Jesus Christ wasn't here on earth, Jesus came back and kicked the bottom up out of hell and took the keys and came out and loosed everything. It's every spirit that went around witnessing during the time of the earthquake of his ministry and his death on the cross. He said, for the righteousness, for the heart of man believes the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what salvation. When faith comes forth from its silent announcement, which is your mouth, and being proclaimed in glory and grace, God's voice begins to bring you as a confession unto him as being your Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ. In other words, he owns you now. You're purchased. You're purchased with a price, and now Christ owns you. The Word of God declares for those who own the line that God loves you. Sin separated you. Sin separated you from God. Jesus died for your sins. You can receive Jesus Christ now as your Lord and Savior, because God loves you. Now, Word of God does say again, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God was raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Those of you on the line, you pray this prayer with me. He will by no means turn you back. But I'm going to say something after this, and I want you to hear what I say after this. But as we confess this, each and every one of us, we want you to hear this. Now, what's going to happen, that when I go over to the microphones, I'm going to open up every one of y'all mics, every one of y'all mics that's on the line. I'm going to open it up. And when I open your mic up, I want you to be able to say this along with me as we go through this process of confession. Every one of your mics about to be open. That means when you go to the phone, you hear some of the background noise, whatever it may be, everybody's open the line, you hear some not talking, you hear some talking. But what's going to happen is that now that you're on the line, I begin to bring forth this word of salvation, everybody's going to hear you through the confession. So listen to me as I say it and repeat after me. If you've been saved already, fine. But we're going to go through this confession for the fact that everybody that's on the line and in the archives, they know that you can say this many times as you want to, even though you have been saved, for the remission of everybody else who's going through. Now, as we go forth, I want you to say this after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Come on, y'all. Heavenly, come on, everybody. Y'all, Mike, all up. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I repent. Of my sins.
Of my sins.
Open my heart.
To let Jesus inside of me.
To let Jesus inside of me.
Jesus. You are my Lord.
You are my Lord. And Savior.
I believe you died. For my sins.
For my sins.
You were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. For saving me. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, you just confessed the Word of God on your own. Nobody forced you. Nobody had anything to do. You did it on your own. Not that you did it for a point that you were doing. Think about it was just a new start. Think about God done something new in your life. Each morning you get up, this prayer all will be in your heart. Lord, thank you for rising me up out of my bed as my feet touch the ground. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your ability. Thank you for giving me that wisdom and knowledge to understand and know that through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. And Father God, even as we come down to the end of this broadcast, Lord, I loose the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I declare by the power of the Holy Ghost that every mouth that confess according to you being on the throne, I decree and I declare that every negative force, every negative spirit, every negative disease that ever try to come against them in their life, Lord, I proclaim by the power of the Holy Spirit has got to be loosed in the name of Jesus. I break the back of every form of cancer in the name of Jesus, every form of high blood pressure, every form of bone deterioration in the name of Jesus, every negative mindset, every form of thought to the point of having any kind of diabetic problem, Lord, I loose it in the name of Jesus. I come against every form of back problem. I come against every form of hip problem in the name of Jesus. I shut down every negative knee problem in the name of Jesus. I douse cancer right now, and I shut down the forces of any force in the area of high blood pressure in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I declare by the power of God and by the power of your Holy Spirit that you move on this night over every one of them, Lord. Send forth your Spirit right now, Lord, and convict, let it arrest. Father God, let it move like a whirlwind, Father God. The devil say he got power, Father God, but I know you got more power in the name of Jesus. I declare that the blood will not be crossed on this night, Father God. Salvation will reign through the minds and heart of every one of these individuals, Father God. I speak a word according to the power. I speak a word according to the Spirit. I loose every demonic force, Lord, every soothsaying word, and every proclivity to ever try to come against their life, Lord. I loose jobs in the name of Jesus, Lord. I come against financial dilemma, Father God. I break the back of lack in every one of their lives right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I come against every form and every fashion of every kind of negative enemy, Father God, that I've tried to speak anything negative against the Lord. I loose the Spirit in every household in the name of Jesus. And I declare by the word of God and by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father God, that everything in their life has got to live according to the blood. Lord, I loose in the name of Jesus every thought and every plan of the enemy. And Father God, even as we go forth, Father God, I speak a word according to the power of the revelation of the Holy Spirit, of the revelatorial knowledge that you impute into their hearts and their mind, that everyone that's brought a church home, everyone who hasn't believed fully in the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they will be doused in the form of the power of the Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I command the tongue speaking to come forth. I command the heavenly language to be in them in the name of Jesus. I command by the word of God that every mother, Father God, every father that's on a bed of affliction, that they got to be loose from the very condition, and they be raised up in the name of Jesus. Father God, save your people in every area of their life. Lord, look over every mother, Lord, even my mother, even my sister, boy, even my brothers, Father God, every one of them in the name of Jesus, Father God. I declare by the word of God that my wife be safe in the name of Jesus. I put a hedge around my daughters in the name of Jesus, my sons in the name of Jesus. I speak a word according to the power of the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that every word that I speak out of my mouth has got to go forth and will not come back. But I put it into the third heavens, Father God, that it be a word to speak to you, Father God, in a way that never been spoken before, Father God. Let your Holy Spirit fall upon each and every one of these men and women of God like do. Everybody that's in the archives, Father God, I minister a word to them through the power of the Spirit, Lord, that they'll ring their ears, Father God, that they'll snap the synapse in their brain, Father God, that they'll be a new creature, Father God, in every area of their life, Father God. I decree this word, I declare it, I call it to come forth right now in the name of Jesus. I speak a word according to the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm asking you, Father God, to every one of these men and women of God, Father God, these things I'm asking not of myself, but the power of the Most High God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen, Father God, amen, amen, and amen. Even this man of God who prayed about his family being hedged, Lord, send forth your cherubim angels to guide him, Father God. Put a force around every area of that place that he's in, and he would be illuminated by the power of the Spirit to give him direction on what he needed to do. Give him favor in every area of his life, Father God. And I proclaim by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, Father God, that he would have the new place that he needs, Father God, that he'll rest his feet in, Father God, and never have to worry about a thing ever again, because he feels your heart. He knows what he has to do to get right according to your will. Father God, protect the children, every one of the children, in the name of Jesus, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, for this prophetic service, for the prophetic utterance that comes from Psalms 91, knowing that we're safe in your protection, safe in your life, Father God, safe in your arms. These things I'm asking not of myself, but to you, Father God, I call it been done. For all of you who are here on Harvest New Life Church and part of the power of the Harvest Radio Station, I thank you. I'm going to leave a word with you on this afternoon, and it's going to be one of the words that the woman of God said. It's about having how he loves you, reigning in the Spirit. For each and every one of you, go to the website, join the website. It's called harvestnewlifechurch.com. Be a part of it. Put your comments in. Put your prayer requests in. And tell your friends about it. And be with us on Thursday as we finish the series. Not the series, but another thought at a series we've been dealing with about the controls of the Spirit that's in the house of God. I thank each and every one for joining me here with me and co-pastor Patty Ellis, along with beautiful young girl Stella Ellis, and ask you to pray for us and keep us moving as God continue to bless us in every area of our life. Y'all have a good night. God bless you, and God keep you. And I thank you for being with us on this night.
Love like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, then I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us, oh. Oh, how he loves us.
Yeah.
How he loves us, oh.
Redemption by the grace in his eyes, if grace is that.